Blog Talk Radio.
Python Radio, brought to you by Morelia Python Forums, www.moreliapythons.com. What's up, Owen? What's going on?
Panthers.
That's the word
of
the
night. All that is going on. I'm going straight to it. We're canceling talking to everything else. Panthers. Who can get Owen Panthers to his house right now?
Oh, man. I know. It's that's kind of the news of the
that is blown up as of yesterday. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, we have the quote unquote new morph that's an all black jungle carpet python. You can go over and Morelia Pick of the Week and you can check it out if you haven't already. But it's named the Panther. I guess
sticking with the cats, I guess.
Yeah. So it's bred by Peter Kratina. He's from the Czech Republic. He had it in 2005. He bred it to a pair of jungles. I think he had 4 eggs, 3 hatched, and 2 of them were black. Only one survived, and they called it the Panther. I think he had some issues growing up the male. He bred that Panther to a female that he picked up. Said it laid 7 eggs, no black babies. I think he kind of marked it off as not being
codominant,
anything.
Dominant, yeah.
Right? And then last year he put the female he planned for him didn't ovulate, so he put him with one of his sibs, and then he had black babies. So
it means it's recessive.
Yep.
Now,
well,
I've been looking that up, and it's a hypermelanistic. It's not full melanistic because of the white underbelly. So if it was full melanistic, you'd have all black, including the bottom. So.
I didn't know that. How about that?
Well, but melanistic is a term you use for, like, black jaguars and black leopards are melanistic animals because they're all black. So this is called a hypermelanistic because there's still some color on there other than black.
Right.
That was Owen's lesson of the day. You may all tune out now.
We have Casper Christensen joining us tonight from...
Tune back in. Tune back in.
Yeah, Singular Reptiles. But we lost him.
No! No! Crap!
He's gone from Denmark and...
damn it!
It's 3 a.m. his time, so I'm trying to get him there.
Quick, stall. We have to stall. How's your season going, Eric?
Yeah, no, okay. Okay, so... so, yeah, that's the Panther thing. he'll call back in when he gets when we get closer. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, what else do we got? Yeah, so he's got pretty cool stuff going on. I've been talking to him on Facebook for the longest time, and finally he's coming on the show. There he is. He's back. Good.
Okay,
good.
All right.
Now I feel better.
We're not doomed.
Yeah. So okay. The he's got a lot of cool stuff going on. We're going to get into it. He's got some really cool Morph projects, of course. Mm-hmm. He's got some really cool Morelia projects, like he works with Bull and I, King Horn Eye, all kinds of stuff going on. So we're going to break that down and talk to him about all that stuff. As far as what else is going on, the Poll of the Week brought to you by Chris Behoff of CB Reptiles, and he was talking about Super Zebras. What say you, Owen?
I love Super Zebras.
Okay.
But I look at a Super Zebra, and I almost look at it two ways. First way is what's sitting in front of me, and the other way is what's going to be sitting in front of me in several years.
Okay.
Because right now, zebras in themselves, we're just starting to see zebras come into their own. Bright yellow, dark black, you know, what the line breeding. The people are stopping taking their zebra and throwing it to every single jungle female they get their hands on. They're starting to selectively breed. And that's what's going to happen with Super Zebras. So in a couple years down the road, you're going to get that bright freaking yellow solid snake that we've all wanted the Super Zebra to be. You're going to get there. I know you're going to get there. It's just going to take a few years. And imagine a Dr. Frankenstein-like person like yourself adding gamma line into a zebra jack project, and then doing that, you're going to get some gamma yellow super zebras. So, yes, I'm totally for a super zebra.
Okay. I, as far as, you know, because there's some issues with the super zebra, I don't know if people know. There's some kinks with the tail, and a few of them die within the egg. Which kind of ties into the whole thing with the panther thing too. I mean, to me, morphs, they're just messed up snakes.
They are, you know? They are genetic mutations. There's something wrong with them.
Something went wrong.
In order to get these pretty colors, something is messed up.
And it's surprising that there's not more problems with them.
To be honest, probably. Yeah, I mean, some of the bigger, some of the other species that have morphs have real insane problems. But as far as kink tails, I had a kink tail come out of one of my babies this year, and it was far enough down, and it was just the tip of it actually corkscrewed, and corkscrewed so severely it actually the spine was like knotted. Tip of the tail, I cut it off right below the kink.
Okay.
Took a very sharp pair of surgical scissors, snipped the tail, dipped it in the some of that / clotting solution, and the snake ate several times, shed for me several times, and sold it as a pet to somebody because it was perfectly fine. So I'm not worried about kink tails at all.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, supposedly when they outcross them, apparently they don't have quite as many problems, but
that's how it always goes, isn't it?
Yeah. So, there's that. You know, Super Zebra's cool, but my main thing that I'm chasing after is the albino Super Zebra. I think that's going to be cool. Hopefully.
Well, how many years are you away from that? Oh, next year. I'll get it next year. Yeah, shut up.
No. Who knows? I don't know. I got
albino. No, you know. Get your book, look at the page, and you'll tell me when you're going to get them. It's probably like page number 3, circled the albino Super Zebra. Underneath it says like, haha, Owen. So.
Yeah. another one would be a Xanax Super Zebra.
That will be pretty. But the problem is that I thoroughly enjoy Xanax Jags. Just something about the different tones of silver you kind of get on them is gorgeous to me. And I think by taking away the pattern, you take away the contrast of the color, and it's just going to be an all solid. And I'm like, like, once I see it, I'm going to be disappointed by it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
there's really nowhere else for it to go.
Of course, I think probably another nice one is I put it over on the Morelia Python Radio Facebook page. It's by Paul Harris at UK Pythons. It's the Super Caramel Super Zebra. That's
Super
another
Caramel
one.
Super Zebra.
Yeah. So
see,
it's over there.
Interesting, but I'm also interested to see the Granite Super Zebra.
Well, that's the other one. That's the one that looks like the Matlock.
Because it looks like a Matlock, but that's it at its rare, like bare bones form. You get really high end zebra mixed in with like those insane colored granites, like what you have.
I mean,
can you just imagine what kind of color is going to come through on that thing? I don't think you can.
A really cool Matlock python.
Yeah, it's going to be like a really freaking awesome Matlock python. Which, while we're on the subject of Max, my baby boy Mac has been driving me up a wall because he's like, nah, I don't want food. But the female has been pounding extra large rats. And I don't know why. So yesterday I decided to break down and offer him a chicken. And wouldn't you know it, thing flies out of the tub, grabs it, and I'm like, great. Now someone here is on chicken. And so...
That's why I got rid of him. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, sure. You knew, you son of a bitch. I knew it. I almost texted you like a picture of him with the chicken going, you did this on purpose. So...
Oh, that's awesome. But let's see. What else, dude, I have that I wanted to hit on? If you saw the over on the Facebook page, too, we had, again, this is UK Pythons, Paul Harris. He had the adult Super Caramel Zebra Jag. Pretty stoked.
Oh, yes, I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked because...
You're getting sick because you're getting one in the mail next week, right?
Yeah, well, not next week, but...
Shut up!
It should be here sometime soon.
Half of that was I was expecting, to, like, you know, was making fun of you, and I hate you, bastard.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's a lot of hostility tonight, jeez.
Well, you're more. See, shut up. Jerk. Not sharing. Anyway...
Yeah, another one I saw was the, speaking of, on another subject, Antaresia, the granite spotted python.
I don't see, like, people are like, oh, no, spotted pythons are breeding like crazy. I'm like, what? I have no idea what I'm doing wrong with these bastards, but it's like, everything I read is keep it like this, and I have been, but I got nothing. Granites and normals, nothing. I don't know what the hell is going on here, but maybe by the end of the year we must be selling the because they're pissing me off. So
I guess you need a the copy of the new Antaresia.
I guess
book.
I need that book. Yes,
the complete children's python.
Because the complete carpet python is helping me out so much with my Ariane Jaya project. We won't discuss that.
As far as my season, I don't know, before we get Casper on here, because I know it's like 3 o'clock in the morning his time.
No, he's up now. He might as well just stay up the whole time anyway.
Yeah. The I got two last things to hit on. Season-wise, I've seen some – I put the Red Tigers together because –
Because of that picture?
Well, not only that. Actually, I did it before that, but the female looked like she was ovulating, and I just put them together, and they were locked up, like, right away. So then that picture came out, and then I said, you know what? They're staying together, so.
That's exactly what I did. I put Orion and Aislinn together. They locked up twice, and then that picture came, and they had been separated. I put them right back together. Like, No.
Yeah.
No, it might even have a semblance to turn out like that. You two are sticking together the entire time. So, yes. So, we're looking like we're going to get tigers from two females this year. I'm going to get reds and normals. So, it'll be fun to watch the contrast between the two from when they're hatchlings all the way up.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should get the reds and the citrus, so.
I want... Oh. There's one other thing I got to tell you about. And this is Howard was bugging me about the HCQ Tiger I bought from him 2 years ago. I actually put her in with Echo to see what the two of them were going to do. And I haven't seen any locks, but they've been cuddling up. And if they do breed, I have no idea what to expect.
But I think that's a cool project.
Yeah, well, it was just something to see because it's going to be – Echo doesn't have any color, and she's got mass amounts of color, and it would be nice to have – he's got a really reduced pattern, so if I get some super Tiger Jags or some Tiger Jags out of those two, it would be nice, insanely patterned kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to it. Cool. There we go.
Cool. Yeah, I got I did get a new app for my phone. It's called
Carpet Breeding Morph? A carpet breeding app?
No. It's Reptile Scan.
I saw that. Where you put like the barcodes on your cages. Yeah.
Yeah, so far it's pretty cool. It's you gotta enter in a lot of information, but I don't know.
Once you do it, isn't it just like you can scan the cage and be like, I fed it a rat, and then it updates all these things?
Yes.
And that is awesome. I was looking into that, and I was kind of hoping to work with that, because one thing is that I hear you can combine barcodes for baby barcodes. So this one bred with this one, each one is this barcode. So you can scan it, and it can get full lineages too, which is awesome.
Yeah,
but it reminds me that I actually have to send an email tonight of lineages. Shit. All right, moving on. I was supposed to send that email to you. Sorry, David. Anyway, I will get on that later.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. And don't worry. Ignore me. Just keep going.
Okay. And then, I was pretty excited because I thought I subscribed to Herp Nation, that magazine, and I put it up that I wanted to get the last issue figuring that it would be the Bolens issue. So mm-hmm. I've been patiently waiting to get it in the mail. And, as I'm waiting and I'm waiting, and then finally it comes in the envelope. And I gotta tell you, actually, this is a top-notch magazine, man. But it's not the issue. It's the issue before the one with the Bolens. So now I have to wait until...
Yeah, man!
comes. I was kind of disappointed. But... I'm not trying to bash Reptiles magazine or anything like that, but yeah, I'm telling you, if you this is the magazine. Nick was telling me about this for the longest time, and I know he's written some articles for these guys, and I don't know, I'm really just impressed with just the overall feel of the whole thing. You can tell that it's for the more advanced herpetoculturist, so. Good time. So hopefully I'll be getting that Bolens one real soon. I think that's all I got. If you don't have anything else, let's get this going with Casper. You don't really contribute much to anything, so.
Nope. I'm the comic relief, and I keep you grounded.
That's
so,
right.
By all means, let's just continue this, and you and I are going to have a talk later.
Okay, so. Hey, everybody, we want to welcome Casper Christensen to the show. Hey, what's up, Casper? How you doing? Welcome to Morelli Python's Radio.
Hey, what's up, Eric? Hey, Owen. Thanks for letting me on.
How you doing? Doing well, Casper.
Hey,
thanks
guys,
for,
just before we start, I just wanted to know if I just start yawning or anything like that. It's just because I'm super tired right now, so I've been drinking coffee the last 2 hours, so, yep.
Owen,
awesome.
Owen's stand-up relief will keep you awake, don't worry.
Sweet, of course. And we have to thank you for actually willing to stay up and chat with two idiots from, Pennsylvania. So, it's definitely,
I
appreciate that.
I told Eric earlier, I'm not really going to work tomorrow, so it's no problem. I like to stay up at night, so,
That's good. So let's just go into it before you fall asleep on the phone then. Casper, why don't you tell us what got you into reptiles?
Well, as you know, all of your other guests, I've been interested in animals since I was a kid, you know, dinosaurs, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived by my parents, of course, just beside a small pond where, you know, in Denmark we don't got a lot of reptiles. We got like two species of snakes, one viper and one colubrid, so it's not, you know, the best nature to discover. But, you know, I spent some time at the pond looking for frogs, snakes, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I kept a lot of different animals, guinea pigs, parrots, all that stuff, ferrets. And when I was like 10 years old, I got a lot of interest for the cichlids, a lot of cichlids from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So I started my own tank, and at my birthday, my cousin, he went to my room, and he just poured all the fish food in my tank, so they all died.
Oh.
You know, they were expensive for me, and by that time, you know, I didn't got a lot of money. And I just went to a pet store some days before and saw a boa constrictor. So I asked my parents if I could have that instead in the tank. And, you know, they said yes, and it just went downhill from that day off. So that's pretty much it.
Awesome.
Since I started, I kept, like, you know, everything I could get at hold of. So I've kept lizards, all the, you know, king snakes, milk snakes, rat snakes, you name it, everything. So, yeah.
Everything's good. So what brought your focus to Morelia and pythons in general?
You know, I started keeping boas a lot in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and they require a lot of space. And one day I saw a picture of a pretty brown jungle-ish carpet python, and I was just hooked from that day off. I just started researching, and they were pretty uncommon by that time in Denmark, and I was lucky to get hold of IJ Mail, so I bought that, and a couple of years later, a friend of mine, he had a female, and we made our first clutch. So, yep, that just got me started in the carpets. So that's it.
Cool. Awesome. So, can you tell us about singular reptiles? How did you start it, and what exactly are you guys working with right now?
Well, I started it, you know, a couple of years ago, and I just first made my website and, you know, my Facebook site. I think it was last year or so. But you know, I just wanted a website where I could show my animals, make it a bit easier for myself as well. Also because I was getting some inquiries from people, so I thought it was a bit more easy to, you know, just upload the pictures there and show people what I got. And so at that time, I had a lot of jungles. It's pretty hard to get by, you know, really nice high yield in Europe. So I started, you know, buying every good stuff I saw and keeping everything back and, you know, selling off the ones I didn't thought was nice, and, you know, so I got a pretty neat collection, and then I just thought it would be nice to, you know, show off. So that's pretty much it. And my friend Lasse, he's the other guy at Singular Reptiles, you know, like you and Chris, we just we're friends. He lives you know, at the other part of Denmark, but we often go to shows in Germany together, and so we thought it would be nice to to make a site. And a lot of the hard-nosed snakes. And I was moving to a smaller apartment, so I had to sew off my whole carpet collection at that time. And frankly, it sucked. I was pretty pissed. But, you know, Lassen made me research the hognose market, and I didn't want to, you know, stop keeping reptiles for good, so I thought that, hey, I can just keep some hognose instead. They don't require a lot of space, and I can keep around 20, 30 in a rack system, and that would be fine. So we bought a lot of stuff and bred them. And in 2010, I did a very nice. I bought a new morph of the hognose that I didn't know was a new morph, but I thought it was super different. So, you know, I just thought I wanted to breed him to a normal just to see what happened, and he turned out to produce 50% of his own kind the first year. And next year, we bred him again and produced the same results. So so I got in contact with the guy I bought them off, and you know, I told him I wanted to buy the adults, so I bought them as well. And I started the morph called Shadow in the Hardness world. So,
cool.
Yeah. That's why, you know, people know in Europe know single reptiles. It's because of the shadow hognose. But, you know, I really wanted to keep Morelian again, and but I didn't have the space. But I knew my parents were having a large basement that it didn't, you know, use. So I thought I'd just ask them whether if I could, you know, use their basement for keeping my snakes.
There you go. Hello.
Nice. So, now, can you tell us about the how are hognoses really kind of different than the pythons? Like, was it a total, complete switchover? Or I hear that the hognoses kind of, like, have a big snake attitude. So was it really not that bad going to the little guys?
Earlier, and I've always liked them. So, always about investing in some of the morphs and, you know, made sense for me. With when I just keep the large, just go display. They're guys. You know, there's all creatures. They just happen and never strike it. They're easy to breed too. So yeah, they're super.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so, all right. So, with your collection, where are you going with your collection? Are you just keeping Morelia, or are you trying, what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish with your pythons?
Collection. Moved all my hot-nosed snakes to my partner, Lassa. So he keeps them all now. So I only focus on Morelia and the other Python stuff. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You were kind of breaking up for a minute. I don't know if I was having the same problem. Hello? Owen?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was me or if it was...
No.
Caster. Yeah, we kind of lost you. There you go.
Okay.
I swear we're technology fans.
Yeah.
Here's my iPhone headset, so I don't know if that's the problem.
I think we can hear you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of like going in and out, I think. Maybe you should call back in and see if that gets you a better connection.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Can you hear us? Oh, there you go. Okay, so he dropped off. He's going to call back in. Because he was, I thought it was, usually it's my connection that's bad, but.
It is usually your connection that sucks, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This time it's not my fault.
This time.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you hear me, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
There you go.
Finally.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with my computer, though. It's weird.
You're calling him? Yeah, okay. I have the same problem. Don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Eric's normally the one that's totally, like, screwing it up. So.
Okay, so I don't know where we were. You said you were moving all your hognose out to your partner's place, and you're just focusing
on Morelia. Yeah.
Morelia and your other pythons, right?
Morelia, Liasis, Epidora, you know, the scrub pythons,
nice.
Blood pythons, Antaresia, all that stuff. So, yeah.
So what size is the collection? Like, how many snakes are you working with?
Adult wise or just total?
Just total.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I never.
That's right. Don't count. It's only saddening when you count. Just
yeah.
Let it go. Yeah. Who counts?
If I had to, it would be around 60, 70. So it's not a huge collection. It's just, you know, I can take care of them.
Very refined collection. Correct. Yeah.
I'm at 77 right now, so
I'll be getting some more stuff, but I'll see. Maximum would be around, you know, 100-120 animals for me.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. I know one of the animals that stand out in your collection to me is Scream. Can you talk about Scream and what the future plans are for him?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's so super nice. He's like, you know, I always wanted a gamma line jaguar, and when I saw Scream, I was just like, I had to buy that one. He's just like the closest thing you could come to a gamma line in Europe. So, I don't know if you saw the movies, you know, the film clips, the video clips I put up on YouTube.
Yes.
But he has blue shoes on him. It's just nuts. He's just crazy looking.
Yeah.
And,
so Scream is a diamond brettle.
Yeah, he's 50% diamond, 25% brettle, and 25% coastal jacking.
Okay.
So.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's a mutt. He's a mutt. I know.
Whoa.
not style. You know, it's. Because, you know, many people don't want to breed the brettles into the mix. I don't know. I don't really care about the brettles. I keep them pure too, but I like them that way. But I really want to put him into some caramel projects. I want to line him up with a female design, and I want to put. To the zebras as well.
That's interesting.
Dang, all of them.
did you see those Diamond Jungle Super Jacks that Ollie made this year?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I got an email from him, and she's just nuts.
Oh,
totally
wow.
Nuts. Yeah, she's fantastic. And I was just thinking if I could scream to a zebra, what then would happen? And, yeah.
Wow, that would be cool.
I think that's a nice result. But I'm not going to put him into, you know, all my stuff, but I want to work his line too. So I might be putting him onto his sister as well, and a Bradley Diamond integrate as well. So
wow.
Yeah.
Cool. I wonder if you'll get the ocelot pattern that I know some people that do the brattle jags. It seems to pop up in
really?
In them. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have to sneak that. So.
Cool. Excuse me, but the other some of the other carpet projects that you have going on are, you know, pretty high end stuff and pretty cool. So I think the thing that stands out to me is the Xanic projects that you're working with. Can you tell us about that? Some of the stuff you got going on?
Yeah, I love the Xanic gene. I think it's the most potent gene in condos, and you know, I speak a lot with Ollie at Precision Reptiles, and you know, he just got a lot of very good stuff of the Xanic genes, and you know, I end up buying Xanic Jaguar male and Jaguar Caramel head Xanic male, and a Zebra head Xanic female, along with a Caramel head Xanic female. And I got some head Xanic female just regular as well. So it's a pretty neat project, and you know, there's a lot of combinations I can look forward to. So yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think the Xanic Zebra Jag that Ollie produced sticks out to me. That thing is freaking sweet.
It's so clean. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was watching your YouTube video about the I guess you were unpacking from a show, and you know,
yeah.
I just saw all this caramel jag head Xanic. I'm like, oh, all right, this is right up my alley. Very cool. So
yeah, I need more stuff though. But you always do.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I love the Xanic stuff. I think it's so potent. After I saw Wayne's stuff, I just went nuts, you know. Man, it's just fantastic what he did.
Yeah.
Animals. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's made some cool stuff. Okay, that's cool. I know another project that you're involved in is, and maybe you can give us some back history on this, is the Green Line IJs.
Yeah, that's a funny project. A friend of mine who used to keep snakes bought 2.1 Green Line IJs from Mark Mensa in Germany. It was in 2007, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they were from Wildcourt parents. It's, you know, they're pure, and they're just funny looking. They're like nowhere near looking like normal IJs. They're, my female is very authentic looking, and my male is just, he got that lavender hue to him, and you know, the other male, he's just regular, but they're just so various, and he started just line producing them, line selectively breeding them, and I don't know a lot about them, but I heard he sold the project off to another guy. And that guy accidentally lost the animals for good. They died at his place. So I know that Mark held some animals back from the same clutch that I got some animals from, or my friend got those, but I bought them from him. But and they made the new morph this year in 2012. You know, the green tiger. I don't know if you have seen that one.
No.
No,
I did not.
And they, it's, you know, it came from Green Line IJ to Green Line IJ, and it's literally a zebra. Just, you know, more grayish. It's like a authentic zebra.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I saw that.
And you know, I don't know what's going on with this gene, this line, but my female is just so authentic looking. I don't know if you've seen any pictures of her. I've posted her, you know, a couple of times on Facebook. She's just, you know, no yellow at all. She's just black and red.
Yeah, I have seen pictures of her, yeah, of yours. That's cool.
So my goal for that line is just, you know, to try to keep that line clean and, you know, see if something's going on with my Santic girl, if she's a Santic or if she's just a neat-looking IJ. Maybe I can, you know, get that super-looking stuff out of it, too. I don't know, but it's worth trying.
Yeah.
Cool. I have some cool IJs if you ever want to bar some. And I don't know how I get them to you, but...
Get to fly them over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I envy you guys so much because, you know, your jungles and your IJ stuff is just ridiculous. You know, compared to, you know, the European lines, you know, talking about brown, turd-looking IJs.
You mean they get worse? Holy shit!
You know, that poster child line is just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Nothing beats that line. Yeah. That's... It's almost
like... I'm light-sided, but man, I do want some of those. Woof.
So.
Actually,
okay.
I got no... Right now, I got one Tully female, and that's it. So, yeah. I want some more.
Yeah, the I'm quite fond of my favorite line of jungles is the I know I posted it up on the Morelia Python Facebook page too. Is Ollie? I know he works with it. Is the German bloodline?
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that bloodline of jungles. Hands down, it's the best.
You can get more clean animals. They have that black speckles in the yellow, but man, they're just. Well, they do pop.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, the whole point is the contrast between the black and the yellow, and I just don't think that there's anything that compares. Well, maybe some. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay.
States, though.
What other carpet stuff do you got going on? What are you working with? What any other subspecies or what else you got?
Yeah, I got the Darwins.
Nice.
And I got the Inlands and the Brittles, of course. The Coastals. I got the Tigers and some Reds too. Yeah, that's it. The rest is just nuts and moths, you know.
Yeah. What about
black and white diamonds too?
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about the Southwesterns? Do you ever want to work with those? In Bergata?
Yeah, I do, but you know, I think we have to wait a couple of years to see those in Europe collections, but eventually they will pop in one collection, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to work with them, of course I do, but, you know, yeah, I'll just wait. Same with the Carinata.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about, as far as your carpets go, how are you keeping them? I noticed on, like, your YouTube pages, your cages are awesome. Very, very very nice.
They're very nice. Very nice. I like those. They're the same lightweight material as, you know, your Visions. They're just, I don't know how to pronounce it, but they're just awesome. They're called Lanso cages. LansoHerbCages.com. They're neat. Very nice. You know, I normally keep them, you know, pretty hot with and I just, you know, turn off the heat at night. In winter times they just get colder. Yeah. I keep them pretty basically like everybody else.
Okay. So it's basically,
you know,
you're putting a hot spot there.
Yeah, I got a hot spot at around, you know, 32 Celsius, and, you know, ambient temperature of 27, 28, So it's just
okay.
So yeah, you know, pretty normal husbandry. But yeah, last year I got a lot of unfertile clutches. So this year I wanted to drop the temperature even lower, but I should never have done that. Man, I got so many animals with RI.
Oh no!
Oh no!
It's just not fun. It's just not fun anymore.
Nope.
Because you got it every day, and I have, like, you know, 30 minutes away in the car, and, you know, I got to drive that distance every day just to shoot the animals and get back to my apartment. And I work full-time, and, you know, I'm in school as well, and I got a lot of stuff right now, so it's pretty harsh, but they're fine again, and everything is going great, but it was just... It happened to my green line. Of course it happened to my green lines.
Of course.
So I'll have to wait another year to see what they will produce. But that was a bummer. It made me sad.
Yeah. Damn.
So with the RIs, what are you going to do different? What have you done differently?
The ambient temperature, I'm just going to keep that. So just like...
I think we may have lost him again. Owen?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to keep you worried as long as I'm keeping quiet. Yeah, kind of.
Hello? Yeah, you keep going in and out.
Oh, crap.
There you go.
Is it okay now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yes.
Okay. But, yeah, I'm going to, you know, work it like Terry and Tracy Barker does. I'm going to try that method, but slowly working towards getting it a bit cold in my room, getting that ambient temperature a bit higher than usually, and, you know, just keep the same temperature 24/7.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of, you know, positive things about that method, so I was just like, why not?
if it's working for everybody else, why not give it a try, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, it's all you, Owen. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, as far as breeding your carpets, can you break down what your approach is for breeding them?
Yeah, you know, late October, you know, just stop feeding them. Keep, you know, 2 weeks, then I just slowly decrease the temperatures down at night. And daily spot, they have around, you know, 20 Celsius, excuse me, 31 Celsius, and, you know, I keep them in a basement, and it drops to, like, low 20s, even lower, so it works fine, and, you know, they breed, I get clutches, it works, so, you know, I'm a happy camper, I just wanted to try something else, so I can get rid of the RIs and all the other problems about bad sheds and stuff like that. And in February, I just, you know, start getting the high temps again. And, it works. So, it's pretty easy. I've had a lot of people asking me about, you know, it's hard to breed carpet pythons, and I'm like, I bred beetles and IJs just without doing anything at all. So, you know, when it comes down to that, it's pretty easy. You can do it a lot of different ways, and you know, if you just you know, look at your animals, see how their feeding is. It's pretty down to earth.
Okay.
But, I'll just always, you know, stuck to that same old school method about grabbing the knights. Cool, but yeah. Last year for that. So
Do you keep all your animals together, or do you introduce in like waves?
I keep them separately.
Year-round. Okay.
So I introduce the male female cages, you know, approximately 2 weeks within the cooling period, and they start humping, doing the fun stuff.
Perfect.
Basement, just, you know, I'm pretty, you know, I go to bed pretty late every night, so I just, you know, right before bedtime, I just, you know, go down to my snake room, and I just love going in and see, looking at the cages, and they're all locked up. That's the most beautiful sight ever.
Oh, yeah. It is the most fun part.
So,
Casper, if I send you my IJs, can you breed them for me and send them back?
Owen can't breed the easiest carpet there is to breed.
Shut up. Yeah, and we're going to get white lips this year, and I can't breed IJs. Anyway, so the big question, and I'm glad Eric put this in here. Casper, are you maternal incubation or artificial incubation?
Never tried maternal. Never.
Suck it. is it something?
I want to try very bad, but I don't think I have, the guts to do it. It's, I really want those eggs to hatch. So, man, it's just hard.
No guts, no glory, guys.
You shut the hell up. Let's remember whose incubator had to come to who's saving. Anyway, so, no, I totally agree with you. I'm like, I'll let them do maternal. And then I'm like, no, I want those eggs to hatch. Give me these. So,
I've been trying it this year, but, man, I'm getting sick. And,
I'm not sure.
No, I hear you.
Okay. Lost the connection again.
Damn it.
I know. We're getting to the good stuff.
I know. Now we'll never know.
Yeah, we lost you again, Casper. Yeah, he dropped off. Yeah, we really had a bad, bad connection.
Yeah.
He'll call back in. What we're going to talk to next is I know that he keeps Bolin's pythons, and definitely the pinnacle. Oh, there he is.
Hey.
He heard the word Bolin's pythons, and there he goes. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about your Bolin's pythons.
Well, they're the most easy python to keep ever.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's like the opposite I've ever heard ever. So.
I bet you're not going to say they're the easiest to breed.
No.
Oh.
No, mine are not even close at breeding age yet. So.
Jeez.
But, man, they're easy to keep. So rewarding, so rewarding.
Yeah, I saw your YouTube video, and you had of your Bolin's pythons, and yeah, man, they're really cool. So
I got 2.2 right now.
Wow.
One pair from 2011, and one pair from 2012. So the future looks bright.
So they're relatively small still, or are you keeping them in tubs or cages or what?
I keep them in cages. You know, I tried the UVB lightning, all that stuff. When it comes down to that, I don't really think it does anything differently. So I stopped keeping that UVB light on, and they just, eats crabs, shit, doing great.
Cool. Now, what is, you have these, so obviously you must have I've thought a little bit about, you know, breeding them because you have the pairs. Like, what do you think is, what is your approach going to be to breeding them in the future?
Yeah, it's a good question because, you know, we got a lot of different guys talking about how to breed these guys. And, you know, I don't know if they're that hard to breed or if it's just us. I don't know. Maybe you're just, you know, striving to breed them so much that you're forgetting the, you know, that, you know, they could be easy. You don't know. Everybody's just, you know, you got to keep them that cool, this cool. You know, I don't know. I really want to build a very large enclosure in the future and just to keep them in groups, actually. I wanted to keep them in, you know, those two pairs together, actually.
Okay.
And, I don't know if I heard your show with Ari and about he talked about the burrows they were, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was laying in, and I just want to keep them in a very, very naturalistic display. That's, you know, my goal. And if I can breed them, well, that's fine with me, but if I can't, you know, they're the most beautiful display animals you can ever get, so.
Sweet.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Because all my cows are mean. Almost all my cows are mean like shit. So, you know, when I get people down and see my collection, you know, the first python I just, you know, let them hold is the Bolini. They're just so calm. They never bite. Never bite. Super easy.
Awesome.
Yeah. They're moving slowly, you know. Man, I can recommend them. They're super easy to keep. I keep them around with a, you know, hot spot around 30 degrees, 8 hours daily, set to a thermostat, of course. And I keep them at the cages on the bottom. So, they, you know, night they get even colder from the, you know. Yeah, and...
So 30 degrees in Celsius is 86 in Fahrenheit, in case people are asking.
Wondering, yeah.
Go down to, you know, like 18 degrees at night, and I've never had any issues. Never.
That's awesome.
Well, I think the main problem about keeping bovine is that, you know, people are too afraid to make mistakes. You know, you hear about all that stories about that. Hey, man, they're so hard to keep. If, you know, 50% of them die, all that stuff. And when it comes down to that, it's just like, man, just throw them in a cage, you know.
Yeah, I think Terry... Terry's approach is that I know he doesn't keep ball and pythons, but he, in hearing him talk and hearing him speak, he says that I talked to him about my Halma hare, and he said, "What would be different about them? Why would they be different? You know, why?
Mm-hmm.
What would change about them?" So,
well,
I don't know.
Ball and python at all? You know, I got my first pair, like. 18 months ago, so, you know, I'm still trying to, you know, work some different techniques. I'm chatting a lot with Ari. He's a great guy. Hey, Ari, what up, boy?
Yeah.
I'm listening right now. But, you know.
Yeah, he has a super, super, super amount of knowledge when it comes to... like we said before the show, I mean, I don't know any. I mean, me and Owen, we're pretty, pretty passionate about what we keep, but we haven't taken a trip to Australia and, you know, went to the outback to try to figure out how to breed carpet pythons. You know what I mean? So,
not yet. But you know what? When we do, it'll be a great like episode.
he's driving to New Guinea and
now to Australia actually. I've been there, you know, 6-7 years ago, and I really want to go back, so I'm starting to plan a trip.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, last time I you know, I was there for a month only, so, you know, it's impossible to see everything. And I only spent time on the coast, you know, from Sydney up to Queensland, went to the Australia Zoo, stuff like that, went a week into Queensland, the, you know, if you can call it a jungle. We, you know, we took a car and we had a, you know, a guide, and literally we just lived in tents in the, you know, in the woods. It was awesome.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah, it was one of the best experiences in my life, and man, I just want to go back, you know.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah. On that trip, I saw many, you know, snakes in the nature, blackheads, king horneye. No carpets, though. No carpets at all. No, lots of agamids, everything. So, yeah.
Cool.
Just overwhelming to be there. There are, like, animals everywhere. Everywhere you look.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we spent a night at our tent, at the coast of, you know, the most northern part of Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, our guide just said to, he told us, don't go out at night without, you know, without light, because they were like, he told, there were like death adders laying in the sand, literally, and just biting everything that moves. So, you know,
also,
gotta respect that, but man, it's just so awesome.
Jeez. So, speaking of the Australian scrubs and things like that, can you tell us about your scrubs and how you're keeping yours?
Yeah, I'm keeping them identically to the boneless python.
Mm-hmm.
I keep my scrubs that way. They tend to do like the colder temperatures as well.
Mm-hmm.
It works fine for me. You know, I got the king horneye, I got the Moluccans. I keep the Moluccans, you know, I keep the Moluccans a lot light, but, you know, they're like in a rack system a bit higher, so they get a bit higher temperatures daily basis. But, you know, it works fine, and, you know, all my animals are small, so, you know, I can't tell you about what I'm going to do with breedings yet, but, you know, man, they're amazing. And, whoa, Jesus, man, they got, you know, the largest reach of the python I've ever seen when they strike.
Wow.
They're dangerous. When they strike, they... And talk about their metabolism. They're just like, you know, you feed them a rat one day and the next day it's just gone. It's just gone.
Oh, really? Now I lost that one.
Man, what's about... We just lose everyone on the show tonight.
Yeah, but we do have a caller. Hold on, let me see who this is. Hey, caller with the 623 area code.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, it's Eric. What's going on?
Not much. I figured since I'd never be able to afford to call Casper, I figured I might as well call the radio, so that way it's a free call, right?
There you go.
How's it going, Casper?
It's going good here in Denmark. It's getting pretty late, but, you know, it's nice to talk to you guys. I enjoy that a lot, so, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, he thinks it's pretty easy to keep the bowlins, but...
you know, it is, you know, if you... These babies, man, they're pretty... I mean, like you said, you throw them in a cage, they do really well. He's we're fortunate enough to have all these little ones to raise up, and I think that really helps out a lot, so... But it's not like bringing in these imported adults, which are like a... firecracker waiting to go off, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what happened. Go ahead.
Oh, you, man, I gotta go on a trip with you. Seriously.
Well, you're at the top of the Rolodex when we go.
That would be.
Well,
so
I'll have a seat. I'll have a seat ready for you. You'll be right there. It'll be good.
I want. Oh, God.
We're trying to figure out all the fine little details and stuff to get a small group to go out there, which would be just freaking awesome, and kind of just let everybody else, you know, that gets to live vicariously through others, you know, be able to experience, you know, why we do what it is, you know, we do. So I think it'd be really, really awesome, and get a bunch of really cool herpers to go, and just be a great time.
Oh man, you ain't kidding. You ready to go to New Guinea, Owen?
Yes. If Owen will let me.
Awesome.
I missed half of that. What the hell's going on?
That's dangerous, just agreeing to something you don't even know what's going on, right?
I will agree to anything if you're involved, so go ahead.
Oh, man. I don't know what's going on with this show tonight, but we're having all kinds of technical issues. Yeah. Everybody's dropping off. Oh, man. What a... Jeez Louise. I think I can hear you now. Yeah. Go ahead. You there?
Yeah.
He's going in and out.
I'm never sure I'm online or not.
Yeah, you're good. I can hear you now. Hello?
So is Ari there or what?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, he's still...
Well, yeah, but we're four persons sitting and talking right now, so...
Yeah.
It might be one reason why it's, you know, it's delayed or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be definitely...
Yeah, you can usually get up to 10 people in here. It's never had an issue, but I don't know. Sometimes blog talk is just crappy.
Sometimes I hate this. Like that one time when we were interviewing with Damien in Australia, and just cut out completely and wouldn't let us back on. So
yeah. So.
Well, Casper, I was looking at your snakes, and I mean, like I said before, man, you've got some incredible, incredible carpet pythons. Absolutely stunning. Some of the best snakes I've ever seen. They're just phenomenal looking. So congrats.
Thank you, buddy. I'm really happy about them too. But you know, I need more Bolin's pythons.
Everyone needs Bolin's pythons.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe this will be a good year. You know, maybe we'll have a good year now with a bunch of stuff going on. So.
Yeah.
Man, that's what your big girl hat is just. No, it's the monster.
Yeah. Yes, we'll see what happens. You know, I was just talking to Terry a few minutes ago, and he was like, "Oh, biting his fingernails." It seemed like so. We'll see what happens. So, and I'm hoping, you know, that I mean, with so many animals that are out there right now, it would be nice if a bunch of people, you know, started popping out eggs. That would be really cool.
And the more captive bred stuff we have, the more success we'll probably have.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Right.
Yeah, you know, once, yeah.
You know, they're pretty good going and stuff like that, so not that big of a problem, but, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to let you guys get back to busting Casper's balls, so it's always a pleasure to say hi to you guys, so take it easy.
All right.
Up the good work.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you guys.
All right. Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Dude, I missed a caller. What the
hell?
Yeah,
you missed the caller. Oh, man. So, okay. Yeah, I don't know where we were at on our, what we were talking about, but I think we were.
Scrubs, and then we were moving. I left my outline with my computer. I had to run away because I wasn't getting any reception, so. I don't know where we are.
Well, we were talking about what other type of pythons are you working with besides the Borrelia.
I'm working with my favorite genus besides Borrelia, of course, Liasis.
Nice.
Yep. You know, I just spoke with Nick Mutton here earlier today. You know, he called me and he talked for like 90 minutes or so. And he was, you know, I could just hear babies screaming in the background and stuff like that. And he was like, yeah.
90 minutes, you got up late.
And he's so knowledgeable. He's actually he's a real good guy. He knows just a bunch of stuff. So
awesome.
Yeah, whenever...
we were talking about me sending him some Northern Territory fuscus, and he should send me some Queensland fuscus, just do some trading stuff like that. Because, you know, in Europe we got no Queensland fuscus. They're like all
really?
Gone. We got no one. So, you know, Paul Harris kept some years back, and then he sold them to a guy that that accidentally killed all of them. So, yeah, they're gone.
Oh, crap.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Just,
I'm never sure whether I'm online or offline.
Yeah, you're kind of like talking, then you kind of go out, and then you talk, and then you kind of come back, and it's like, but now we can hear you now. So you work with Lyasis. Are you working with, Owen's favorite? Are you working with any white lips or anything like that?
No, I'm not working with any white lips, unfortunately, not yet. But
you guys have those T-positive albino white lips over there. You can send some my way. I'd be very happy.
They're super expensive, so.
Damn.
And, you know, you got to know how to breed those guys if you want to go into that project, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never bred those, so, you know, I might start off with some, you know, normal face. Golden face, white lips,
mm-hmm.
and take it from there.
So, it's very hard from what we're learning is that they're extremely aggressive when it comes to their territory, and introducing mates can result in fights that could, honest to God, the female could really hurt the boy is what we're learning and from talking with other breeders. So I've been kind of cautious about putting the boys in. So we'll see. But yeah, I definitely understand that one.
Okay.
Yeah, about that, you know, about that females dominate the males, I just got a red coastal that just bit the shit out of a male. You know, a couple of
really?
Days. Yeah. You know, I think it was a response because, you know, I was putting the male in with the female at night right before bedtime, and she was looking
mm-hmm.
very hungry.
Just nailed him.
But, you know, yeah, I opened the cage from the other side and just, you know, quickly just put him in there, but she just struck him at once and just, you know, trying to strangle him or something like that. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Whoa.
Crazy.
And literally, it's my, you know, my largest coastal female. She's just, like, humongous. And he's just like one of the smallest males I got, so I was just terrified that she was going to crush him. So,
jeez,
that's scary.
Yeah. It's
scary.
But you know, it's the first time I've ever witnessed that with carpet pythons.
Yeah.
But
let's hope
yeah,
we never see it again.
It happens. So, returning to the so far this year looks pretty good on those water pythons. My female is she's gravid. She's gravid, man.
Nice.
Cool.
Excellent.
Just feel, you know, 12 large eggs in her, so yeah. And they keep copulating, so I don't know. It's just
whatever.
What, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you like to do it just for fun, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And he integrated the show.
He eats one every 6 months. He's just he never eats, but he's just in the best condition ever. He's just so fine. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Low food bill.
So I really
okay.
hope little feisty suckers this year.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Very aggressive. No, when I go to my snake room, I can just hear the glass, I can just hear the noises of him just striking through the glass, just trying to hit me. Just not fun.
Yeah.
At one point, I was thinking about, putting some sort of, towel over his cage because I was afraid he was going to smash his head too much, ruin his face, something like that. He's just nuts.
I got a scrub that does that. You just hear boom, 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 boom.
I covered my female water python's cage because she kept hitting the glass. So
actually, I got a good friend who lost a scrub python like that.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, a civil male from the Highland Orange Mountain.
Yeah, that's one of my dream scrubs.
Kept them in the, those Herptic cages?
Yep.
Yeah.
They got a really, really thick, glass between the cages. And, it was a wild-caught male, adult, and it was banging through those glasses all the time. And, actually, at one point, he just dropped dead. He just broke his neck or something like that. He just died.
Wow.
He
rolled over.
That's crazy.
I think I would be very, very upset that day.
I would be too.
Yeah.
I keep one of those males, rare orange mountain, as they call them here. They're nice.
Have one of them?
Male.
Wow. That's cool. I think you did. You posted pics up on Facebook of those, didn't you? Of your guy?
No, I don't think I posted pictures of him. Look, I had two females, farm bred, small females, really nice, and they both died. So,
Wow.
That's.
Yeah, they're a cool scrub.
Mm-hmm.
Female. So. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm very curious to find out what the market is like for pythons over there as compared to the U.S. I mean, obviously, it must be somewhat decent if you're investing into Morelia and carpets and such. So what are your thoughts on the market and... Do you think it's similar to what's here in the U.S., or what's your thoughts?
It, unfortunately, is nowhere near similar. Not anymore.
Really?
Yeah, but that's from my perspective. I know that Ollie and Paul sell a lot of animals, obviously. But, for us minor breeders, it's just it's a rough market. It is. So.
Wow.
Yeah. They're not as popular as, ball python, pet rocks, they're like controlling the whole market here in Europe, so.
So it's the same over there as well, then.
Aurelia-wise, they change color after a year, so it's hard to sell small, ugly ducklings at a show.
I hear that.
Look crazy when they hatch, and they just look like shit when they're 2 years old. So, it's just hard to convince that for people that they're buy something that maybe not the best looking right now, but it's going to develop super nice instead of buying that ball python that just looks ridiculous now and going to look like shit in a couple of years.
Right. Now I always thought that. That over there, that you guys were always way ahead of us as far as Morelia and carpet. So, wow.
Until you started investing, Eric.
That's
I
funny.
Wouldn't. After your commitment in a couple of months, though.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully I know, but, like, I mean, you know, I look at, you know, some of the stuff that I'm going to make, and I know that Paul and Ollie and guys like that have to be way ahead of me, and I know there's some other guys over there that I've seen making similar stuff, but way ahead, so I don't know. I just thought...
I really want to buy a couple this season. Yeah, that's my ultimate goal. The snow, of course. I can't wait to see how that looks. But yeah.
The snow carpet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty.
Man, I pray to God every day that it got some lavender tones. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I often think about that. I wonder, like, you know, how is that going to play out because carpet's being so variable and, you know, is it going to have a slight pattern through it? Is it going to, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's going to be cool, though.
Yeah.
I hope.
That'd be nice.
You instead of a, you know, total white snake, I really hope it got some sort of pattern.
Yeah.
And then you breathe that Black Panther into it. Watch out.
We won't know what to do.
It would probably look like a, you know, albino olive or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's see what else. What is the? I'm curious to know what the ham show is like. What is that whole experience like?
Mess. It's a mess. You know, it's like
it's a mess.
It's like putting several thousand children in one small room.
Oh, jeez.
You know, it's
wow.
Like, you know, it's the most crazy thing you'll ever, you know, experience. But it's fun to be there. But you know, it's, you know, I'm getting pretty tired of it. If I, you know, I have to be honest, with you guys.
Do you vent there, or do you just go there?
I don't want to vent there. You know, I don't want to bring my animals to. You know, it's a hotel for blood mites. You know, it's for mites. It's just a resort for mites. It's crazy.
Wow, gotcha. Oh, and you don't have your outline, right?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. Well, ask the regular questions. You know, your usual questions.
Oh. All right. Well, let's the fun questions. The that would have to be Casper. If you could have any Morelia, what would it be? This is. I know.
I already got it.
Bolin.
Bolin's my holy grail, but of course I would like a pair of Carinatas. Of course I would, you know.
Yeah?
They're just super cool, and of course the Owen Pelly's Python, but you know.
Owen Pelly, right, okay. All right, so if you could have any non-Morelia, what would it be?
A retic.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Any particular one?
Yeah.
Yeah, illegally. So, man, well, the normal looking retic is just one of the most beautiful snakes, in my opinion. But, yeah.
The lavender, like, albino tigers are,
nuts.
Like, insane, is what I can see. And, of course, they keep coming out with the new ones, like they have those pied ones out now, where it's like, God damn it, put those colors
and
on a carpet python body, and I'm set.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting on the pied top of the world.
Yeah.
That comes, the market would just...
pied for carpet pythons? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Get it.
That's fun.
Can you imagine a pied panther?
Oh, man. I'd have to make pied everything. Pied granite, pied zebra, pied tiger, everything. So,
wow.
Jeez.
Pied. even though I'm not the, even though I'm not a ball python guy, I do love the pied. They are nice.
Yeah, me too.
So you're not that.
Yeah, they are cool. I will give it that. What's your favorite type of carpet that you work with?
Inland.
Inland?
Like,
any particular
everybody.
Reasons?
Do they guys?
Any particular reason why you like the inlands?
Yeah.
They're super easy, man. They're just so neat, so calm, docile. They're like the perfect pit python.
That is true.
Yeah.
Mine are
and
really
I
laid
do,
back.
I do love that I have a snake that literally look like a piece of silver. It's just nuts. And I like the blue undertones and, everything is just great about them, and yeah, I can't wait to try to breed them.
Cool.
Yeah.
I really want to do something, selectively breeding that stuff. I think it's the most ridiculous stuff you can do with that species when it comes to line breeding. So.
Yeah.
Yes, you're with me.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I can't wait to see those line selectively bred breeds as well. One works. It's just so weird.
it's a funny thing about breeds. I have some from Nick Mutton and I have some from Justin Julander, and for the longest time, I thought I picked out ugly ones, because their color just wasn't there. And I got to tell you, I opened the tub, and man, was I surprised. Just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they just started coloring up really, really nice.
Derek?
Yeah?
Can I ask you what line are you keeping the bottle?
They're the striped line.
All right. No. If you want to work with some line red lie, you gotta check the Henrik Offhorst line that Nick Mutton has. They are the best looking.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. They are nice. They are brick red. Super cool.
Yeah, Nick has some cool stuff when it comes to brittle.
Better than the price line, in my experience, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I hope I know he's working with Hypos this year, and I hope he has luck with them, because they're on my wish list for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to try to breed my brittles this year. So we'll see.
How old are they?
Oh, mine are adults. I think they're 4 and 5, I believe. I have to go back and check.
They should go then.
Oh, yeah. They went last year for Mike Curtin. And then he sold them to me. So.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to improve in animals.
Oh, yes.
Get them going.
They're still cooling right now because I want to make sure they're really cold. And
this spring, summer.
Yeah, I didn't take them out of my snake room because they weren't getting cold enough. So, and then I just bought another female at a reptile show the other week because she was just way too damn pretty. So I have another girl, but she's not going to be ready for another year, maybe two. I showed it to Eric. So
I love brittles. They're really, really good looking, and the technology is just fantastic. And I do love their large head. It's just something.
Yeah,
they're like mean looking, but they're so puppy dog tame. They're just so nice.
It's fantastic. They fixed all the problems that you could have with a carpet python.
Yeah.
They can take the cold and they're not nasty.
Yeah. the heat from the desert at you know, on a daily basis, and then the cold at night is just nuts. So yeah, as Nick told me, you could like drop a rock on its head and it would not die. It's just like the most.
Yeah.
To all our viewers, please do not drop rocks on your Brettles heads. Okay. Just don't do it.
Don't do it.
I do have a question that came in from Tiger Jenkins for you. He writes, "Hey Casper, can you tell us what you feed your bones, and do you have a few different low fat content meals?" Did I read that right?
Every 14 to every 18 days. And I try to feed them mice as babies, because they're not as fatty as a rat is. And when they get older, I try to feed them. You know, they still go. I still feed every 14 days, but I feed many small rats instead of one large. I want to keep them lean. I want to keep them healthy and. You know, I like they're cruising around in their cages and instead of just laying in the hot spot looking fat. So I think they're great. So, that's my 2 cents about that. But, I keep all my snakes very lean. So I've had good results so far. And I'm going to do that in the future as well. So.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, I think people are feeding their pythons way too much, way too much. You know, I see a 2-year-old carpet python coastal female that is, almost like 10 feet or something like that, and pounding rabbits and stuff like that. And, it's not healthy. It's not healthy.
I'm with you on that, but I know Owen, he has some monster, but I don't think you really feed heavy, Owen. It's just you.
No. I feed big meals, and some of my monsters came to me as monsters. You got to remember, I'm not responsible for Sophie. She came that way.
Yeah, that snake is just humongous.
She came, and you know what? I haven't really been telling too many people about it. I got offered another one that is... She's 9 foot, so it's like, dear Lord, no, not another one. So, 250 egg layers.
My snake is my first snake. It's my boa constrictor. She's around 55 pounds now. She's a monster.
That thing's solid.
Wow.
She's so hard to handle.
So I know we're I don't know if you want to throw it out there, if you want to hit on anything else, but what's your website and what's your info and how do people get in touch with you if they want to chat it up with you?
It's singularreptiles.com. It's under construction, and it has been under construction since I started it, so it's like, there's no info, no pictures, no nothing. I want to get it done, but I don't have the time right now, and Facebook is so much easier. So,
oh yeah.
If you want to see pictures, getting in contact with me, want to ask about availability and stuff like that, go to Facebook/singularreptiles, and you should contact me right there. It's much easier. So that's pretty much it. everybody's using Facebook now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to be the way to go.
Way easier for I'm no computer genius, so me sitting with a web page is just nuts. I can't even, do pictures in Photoshop and stuff like that. So I'm having a hard time, updating my homepage and webpage and Yeah, so I just chose Facebook instead.
Why not?
Yeah.
It works.
It does.
We did have a caller on the line. It's Dave Kelly. Go ahead, Dave. You're live. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much.
Nothing much, Dave.
Oh, so Casper, what do I got to do to get Scream from you?
Probably
no,
go to Netherlands and beat him up.
I think I'm going to have to. If he ever goes missing, don't go looking around your neighbor's places. He's over here.
Oh, man.
The trip with a snake in your back.
Well, Casper, I actually have a question for you about Molucan pythons. So,
oh.
You mind?
Yeah, of course.
So, if let's say somebody wanted to get into Molucan pythons, how would you like? Where would you recommend to go to pick up a pair?
Say never pick up wild caught animals older than 1 year. It's just waiting for problems, in my opinion. But if you see any captive hatched snakes, just go ahead and buy them. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy.
Cool.
And, just like I said with the bull and I, just throw them in a cage and, give them a regular hot spot. Let them go a bit down in the nights, and they'll do fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Am I going to die when I go in their cage?
Nah.
Huh?
Nah, I'm just messing around with you, man.
The ones I have, they're not aggressive at all. They're actually probably the calmest out of my scrubs.
Yeah. They're very chill, especially if you get them teeny. They're perfect as babies.
How about you, Casper? Are yours aggressive or?
Yes, babies, they're nippy, but, I sold off my babies because I had an opportunity to get some adults. Raised them hatchlings, so I bought them, and they're super cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. But, the one I had ridiculously aggressive. They're, mean ass mofos.
The King Horna?
The King.
They're just nuts. They're so funny because they're like, everything you don't want in a snake.
But I want them.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, because you can't have them. I want
exactly.
The whole set, you know what I mean?
It's like how the Helmahera is not what I want, but we have to have it. So.
But I understand that scrubs, especially King Horneye, in Australia aren't that popular because they're like,
everywhere.
Evil machine. Like, they'll fuck you up eventually.
Awesome.
Yeah, I do love mine. I'm feeding them, pretty sparingly. So they're pretty aggressive all the time, pretty, focused on if they see some food items or stuff like that, they're very, very, very curious animals. Very curious. Very nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I can give you
some more info, but I had them since this last summer, so I'm nowhere near an expert on this, species yet. But I'm just so happy that I got them and had the opportunity to. So maybe in the future we can have another, show just only for King Horneye.
That'd be cool. What were you going to ask, Dave?
I was going to ask, compared to a carpet python, how intelligent are scrub pythons? Because I always hear that, they're so much more, curious or, outgoing compared to most snakes. What's your experience with that?
Well, they watch you, and the cops don't. You know, when I go into my snake room, all the scrubs are just sitting looking at me. Just my, every move I make, they're just following me with their eyes and, you know, looking looking pretty badass. And all the corner just, you know, they don't care. They're just, you know, lazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I look at it. If you're going to compare it to Jurassic Park, a carpet python is Tyrannosaurus Rex, but the scrub python is the raptor.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're just nuts. You know, they're actually, as adults, I don't see them that aggressive at all. I have a lot of friends who keep very docile animals as adults. Even the southerns, and you know, every Morelia babies are nippy, but I think with time and if you got time, you can slowly tame them down if you can use the word taming. But yeah, you know, it's something you can do if you like, but I don't care. I like mine aggressive.
I have heard that scrubs go through what they call like the terrible twos stage, and all of a sudden in their like juvenile stage, they kind of become these aggressive, you know, they just want to rip your face off, and then somehow when they become adults, they just sort of calm down because they know that they can get you, but they just choose not to. So
it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, with Moluccans and the you know, the occipitals I got from babies and the King Horn Eye, I got them all very young, and they were super tame. You know, I could just pick them up; they wouldn't even bite. And after a couple of months, they just went nuts. All of them.
Jeez.
All.
Yeah.
One just to rip my face off. And they're still like that. So I'm just waiting to see if they will come down. I don't know, but no, I don't care either. So.
Are you thinking about getting into scrubs, Dave?
I'm thinking about it. I've been really eyeing the Moluccans, and
they're,
man,
fun.
They're pretty.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're. Moluccans are fun, and they're great to start scrub-wise. But
yeah.
If you're somebody like Chris, you get the Moluccans, and then now all of a sudden you have everything.
Well, you know, you could always run down the FedEx and throw one in with that tiger I just got from you.
Too late, it's gone. Too late. Bye.
All
right. It's gone.
Sounds like the lazy man's answer to me, but whatever.
Yeah, plus he'd come downstairs and be like, where's the woman? And I'd be like, I don't know. And then I'd, like, die. So, can't do that.
So you picked up a tiger from Owen? Which kind of tiger? Caramel tiger?
No.
I went with the plastic.
No, we
like
don't
the
sell the caramel
Bayman
tiger.
Tiger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool stuff.
Got the M-Pen cross with the Balin tiger. So, related to your trio of M pens there, Eric. So.
Oh, cool! They're beautiful.
This baby boy he got was. I was thinking about keeping him, so he got a good one.
Nope, too late. It's mine now.
Yep, it's gone now. Like I said, Fox is already gone. So.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. And Casper, breed Scream. I don't know what you have to do, but make him sire clutches. All right, see you guys.
All right, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Butted.
Man, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that he's as young as he is.
Like that. Just he's a great guy. He is.
Sweet.
Cool stuff. So, anything else you want to hit on before we let you go to bed and rest up a bit?
I can't even sleep now. I just drank, you know, like large mugs of coffee, so I'm, you know, hyper.
Oh, jeez. So,
well, you know, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure, and I'm honored to be on your show. You know, I know my accent is not the best, but I try to keep up with you guys, and it's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's good to finally actually talk to you. I've talked to you via Facebook a lot of times, but to actually now talk to you is much better.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I hope it won't be the last time. Because
no,
of
course not. We're going to have to come on with something.
But yeah, it's just, you know, I know a lot of people here in Europe listening to it as well. And, you know, I look forward every week to this show. So, yeah, thank you guys. You're doing a terrific job.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Appreciate it. All right. I guess we'll let you get to sleep and, look forward to having you back on. You know, hopefully we can get that show about King Horneye and when you figure out how to breed your bones, we'll get that too.
Have that too.
So, cool stuff.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Casper.
Bye.
Okay. You there, Owen?
No, I'm not. I hung up a while
there
ago.
You yeah, Casper's a good guy.
Yes.
Super good guy. I'm kind of bummed that his connection was kind of crappy, but,
seems every time we call overseas. Huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was good of him to come on, and of course we can cross Denmark off the list of countries we've spoken to. So, but
yeah,
definitely jealous he's got the King Horneye. Because I know that's high on the list of scrubs that we're missing. So,
well, that's the only species you have left, right?
No, we've unfortunately gone way too far. So, because now we're missing, I think we're missing two types of the amethystine. I mean, with the pair up, all the ones we got, and then we got the King Horneye, and with the pair up, the Halmahera now. Which he ate. We jumped the first hurdle and it didn't die. So it's like we've done something right. So
how are you guys keeping them? How are you guys keeping the helmet hair? What you guys
exactly like a baby carpet? He's in a small. He's one of those venomous neos I gave to Chris.
Okay.
And it's just he's just locked in there, and he's in the high 80s. But Chris packed that little square with so many freaking hides and foliage, it's ridiculous. You can't see the helm, and it took me 10 minutes to find the damn thing.
Okay.
And it's on a strict no handling. It's not in the snake room with all the other snakes yet. It hasn't done quarantine yet, so it's just by itself in a room, left alone. For most, if not all, of the day, unless Chris is going in there to change his water or feed him. That's it.
Okay.
Small, enclosed space. Thing ate off a frozen thawed mouse off of tongs the other day. And, okay. So it's first hurdle. It's hurdle number one passed. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good news.
Yeah.
I was lucky to get mine. I got mine from David, and it was David Means, and he already had it well started, and that thing has just taken off, so knock on wood.
We actually tracked ours back to Cam, so he initially brought it. Cam was initially the one who brought it in, and he sold it to the guy that we've been kind of cycling black phases through. And it was just on the table at the Reading show that I was at. And, immediately walking around the room, I saw the Brettle and came back to the table and went, oh, my God, this gorgeous Brettle. And then Chris walked around to go see the Brettle, and he comes back going, holy crap, it's Halmahera. So it's like, oh, Jesus. So quick sell baby.
That's awesome.
So,
really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a cool little scrub. I really, really
big
dig that
freaking head.
Yeah.
Head doesn't fit its body.
No. Cool eyes. Yeah, cool scrub. What else do we have to hit on tonight?
You gotta go down the list and tell people what's on next week.
I don't have verification for next week, but I got a couple
Holy
things
crap,
in,
we're lost. We're
in doing... the works. It depends
next
on if a couple people can make it or not. I'm not sure which one is going to get
people.
The spot. Yeah,
okay.
Well, usually, you know, I'd send out a bunch of people, you know.
Emails and see what they can do.
You know what's funny? I was looking at you break down the shows. I'll have to send you like a screen clip of like some of the shows that I think would be more popular and like shows that
less
are not
popular.
Yeah, it's like Boa Cabana when we had Jen on to talk about IJs.
Yeah,
we had like double the amount of listens that we normally have, and I can't figure out why. I'm just curious.
Dark Siders. You're like, people are listening.
I just wanted you to say that, Owen, that's all.
Okay.
Son of a
well,
bitch.
You baited the hook, and I went right for it. So
yeah.
Here we go.
There we go. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. Okay, yeah, we'll shoot down the list, and we'll check it out. First on the top is Morelia Python Forums. That is www.moreliapythons.com. Go over there, check it out, be a member. A lot of cool people over there and a ton of information going on as far as Morelia goes. Then we have moreliapythonradio.com. You can go over there and the new thing we started. Owen has a tip for you, tip of the week.
He'll
be posted up right after the show, so you can go over there and check that out and see what Owen is talking about. What else do we have? We have the Carpet Fest. Don't want to forget about that. That's brought to you by sponsored by Howard Redding from Redding Reptile Breeders, and that's on May 18th, 2013, in Waldorf, Maryland.
Come. Everyone come.
For more info, that'll be you can check out www.carpetfest.com. And then the Northwestern Carpet Fest is June. Of course, I don't have my calendar in front of me. Is June. I want to say it's the first weekend in June. Hold on one second.
You don't have a handy Morelia Python Radio calendar?
there you go. Oh, yeah. It is June 8th.
Hey.
Yeah, I do have very few Morelia Python Radio calendars. If you are interested, you can contact me at info@moreliapythonradio.com, and we'll get one out for you. It is
awesome.
It's really cool. You have one, right, Owen?
Yeah, I do, and I'm really kind of hoping January gets over quick. Because having to stare at a picture of a rough scale for January is pissing me off. It's like, God damn it. I know, all right?
Like, yeah.
Spend money, Owen. Yeah.
So. You want the rough scale.
You want this. It's like, no, quickly. Oh, good. The next month's an IJ. All right, I'm better now. So,
Yeah, that's that turned out pretty cool. I think next year we will make sure that we have pictures that are top-notch, because there was a lot of people that had really cool pictures.
Really cool snakes that were, like, on newspaper. It's like, ah.
Yeah.
So,
and then there was other people that didn't have, well, not that they weren't the coolest, but, you know, some of the rare stuff, but they're really, really good photography. So we're going to kind of have to mix both. But it's a cool calendar. I'm happy with the way it turned out, and look forward to the next one. What else do I got? You can go over and check out Morelia Pick of the Week. That has Some cool stuff that goes on over there, and that's all Moralia all the time. That's scrubs, bolens, carpets, chondros, you name it. A couple other cool, what do you call it? I'm getting for a second. Sorry. A couple other cool Facebook pages that are going on. I don't know why that closed. it's my computer. It must be a bad computer.
This is a very, very bad day for technology.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. Our buddy Arif Lagel, he has a Bolens page. And if you're interested in Bolens at all, you can go over there and you can check that out. And there's also the Scrub Pythons page. That's by David Means. And that's a cool little page that you can check out. And, of course, there's the Chondro Room. And over there is all chondros all the time. There's some cool stuff that goes on over there. So, yeah, check those out. And, oh, yeah, I can't forget about Morelia Chat and Classifieds. That's
right.
The Tiger Jenkins.
Yeah.
He runs that over there. And I guess if you're over there in the UK, you don't have to be. But you can check out some of the classified stuff that he has going on over there. But otherwise, it's just good for some good Morelia chat. What else? And then as far as me, ebmorelia.com. www.ebmorelia.com. I'm working on I finally figured out how to do some ins and outs of that site, so I'm going to be really really working with it. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. I finally figured out the website. Oh, good.
Well, no, there was like a couple things that I wanted to do.
No.
I didn't really know how to do, and now that I figured out how to use it, now I can do exactly what I want to do. So my idea is I want to have a lot of information on there to where, you know, about the different species and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. What do you got, Owen?
What I got is you can check us out at rogue-reptiles.com. We still got babies up for sale from this past year, 2012's clutch, as well as some babies left over from 2011. I think I have two left. But babies are going quick. We are down to, I think we only have 25 babies left over from this year, which starting it off at like 80-something is ain't a bad year. So, you're looking at something, now's the time to contact us. We will be at the next coming Hamburg show. We're going to be splitting the table with Ben from Australian Addiction. So, that'll be nice and cool. He'll definitely be bringing the Carpet Python book around. What the hell else is going on? You can check us out. I think we got to start making plans for Tinley. Is something we're going to have to worry about. Coming up soon, we'll be splitting the table with Eric. So we'll be jabbing him, which, by the way, I have not gotten a hotel room yet. Did you get one yet?
The hotel room?
Yeah.
No, not yet. That's no
worry. Okay, good. All right. All right, good. I shouldn't be concerned. I was waiting for you to be like, yeah, months ago. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not concerned. Anyway. There's that, and then also we have the upcoming – here's the thing. The weekend after the Tinley Park show, when is that? It's in March, correct?
March, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
18th?
After Tinley Park – yep, March 18th. After that Tinley Park show, the next weekend we have a three-day show up in Reading, Pennsylvania. So Rogue is going to be all over the place and spread very thin. So definitely come back, check out RogueReptiles.com. Also, you can find Rogue Reptiles on Facebook with all the latest updates on our breeding season that's going on right now at both Site A and Site B. We got the Barnex and the Gold White Lips and everything else going on at B. And we got over here all our Carpet Pythons and possibly Max. So definitely check that out. I think that is all I have. So, at the end of this, we'll just say thank you for listening, and we hope to catch you all next week for some more Morelia Python Radio.